This episode of the Meme Factory podcast is sponsored by Simply Bitcoin. This is a Bitcoin-only daily show. Check them out at youtube.com/simplybitcoin. And we are sponsored by CryptoCloaks. CryptoCloaks strives for quality products and innovative solutions for your Bitcoin signing devices and Bitcoin nodes. Check out the Yellow Edition MK4 cold card case at CryptoCloaks.com. Enjoy the show.
I haven't looked at it yet. It's fantastic. I got to redeem. I had stumbled over my words last time, so I got to redeem myself. Hopefully,
we kept it. We cut them the length like in half recently, and it's been a little easier for the guests.
You should see me. He always makes me do it live. I always screw it up because I'm dyslexic and I read it half-assed, and they're like, "You suck at reading." I was like, "Yeah, this is not my first rodeo. This happens every time."
All right, so looks like we got a stealth start from Pedro here. So welcome, everybody. Welcome in. You made it to another episode of the Meme Factory Stream Test. This is Stream Test number 120. And this evening, we're joined by Ben Perrin, or BTC Sessions, whatever you want to call him. Say, hey, Ben.
Yo, how's it going, man?
Everybody. Hey.
Yo.
Hey, Ben.
Yeah, were you gonna lead in with that song again, or is that just something that's gonna happen later, maybe?
Greg Wright, Snatchatossi, Greg Wright, Snatchatossi, he's a friend, Greg Wright,
Perfect.
It's pretty nice, I like that.
All right, so you are currently one of the hardest working people in the space, and have been for some time. How are you managing?
I'm not.
No, I'm not.
I'm so insanely busy right now, but it's good though. It's been fun. I'm happy. I get to do cool stuff and be around Bitcoin all the time. So, and then I don't know why I agreed to this, but
I don't either. You've agreed three times now. Every time it's fantastic. I can't believe it.
Yeah. But yeah, good, busy, and doing lots of really interesting things, I find.
Very cool. So, Ben, you know the deal. Coming on here, we thank our normal sponsors, Simply Bitcoin, Amber App, but the idiosyncrasy here is SusCorp. So whoever they're pitching this week. Idiosyncrasy. I wasn't calling you a name. It means like a unique thing.
Okay, I guess.
Freaking idiosyncrasy. So if you could reach into your DMs and pull out the ad copy for this week, we would be very appreciative.
All right. I'm a little worried. Last time I seem to remember last time was there's no holds barred on that one. So we'll see how this goes. Okay, here we go. Hi, my name is Ben Perrin, and this episode of the Meme Factory Stream Test is brought to you by my newest endeavor, the BTC Sessions Conventions and Conversion Center. Consider this the express lane via plenary indulgence to Bitcoin redemption. Start off by utilizing the sessional confessional to be washed clean of your shitcoining sins, rendering your soul and wallet ready for indoctrination into the Perrin persuasion. 1,000 consecutive hours of sailor interviews paired with the sonnets of Creed and Journey will bless you with your righteous laser eyes. Your attention during this intense period is facilitated by my patented eyelid tape. Utilizing the sleep abstinence chamber, vital essence retention pills keep your hodling focus sharp and your phallus completely numb. Remember, no girlfriends until 100K. Your journey culminates at our re-education graduation ceremony with a yellow hair streak, a handshake, and your very own Bitcoin-themed podcast. What are you waiting for? Sign up for one of BTC Sessions Confessions and Conversions Center programs today.
Yay. Woo, woo. Thank you, man. Thank you. I can't wait to get my yellow streak. Can you get it in this much hair, though? Is that doable?
So we have for every contingency. So like, you know, there's not a, we couldn't even really pull extensions with what you got going on there. Mm-hmm. So we've got the session staple gun, and that really does help.
Session staple. All right. Go on, Sean.
I was just gonna say, are we gonna dye Greg's hair in a couple of weeks?
Yeah, well, we'll have to find another part of the body to dye.
His back.
Maybe his beard.
Yeah, back hair. He's got a pretty good ponytail going on back there.
I think I remember you taking a picture of what's going on back there, the last comment. Not much. Less than not much. It's getting worse. Now,
I don't think it's marketing friendly.
Speaking of Selly, what are you doing here?
What? Where am I?
Here. You're on the show. What are you doing? How'd you get in here?
How did Selly get in here?
I thought you guys invited him.
I mean, I think he found out that we were doing this, and then he harassed me until I dropped a link for him, is what happened.
Happens.
Extortion.
I like a good party. I'm just here to have fun.
All right, so Ben, you just gave a great talk at Madeira.
Thanks, man.
And I want to start simple. I mean, because you're a simple man. So can you elaborate on the concept of Bitcoin providing sovereignty and like how individuals can start their journey moving towards that? Because we've got a pretty wide range. We've got some old hat hodlers here and we've got some newbies.
Yeah. I mean, every aspect of Bitcoin in some way is going to give you sovereignty from something, right? So in my talk, I kind of, you know, I was following up on Jack Mallers talking about the why of Bitcoin, and I kind of, yeah, I know. I was like, great. Great, I get to follow that. Fantastic. But it worked out well. I think in terms of like, you know, conceptually where to go next. So I got to go on and talk about a lot of the how. And so, I mean, initially I was saying that Bitcoin gives you sovereignty in a lot of different ways, and Bitcoin is different things to different people. So in general, you know, the first thing that people see it as a way of is sovereignty from bad monetary policy, being able to make your own decisions around that, escaping to an asset that can't be debased, earning money that can be printed by no one, that general concept. But it goes beyond that, of course, like, you know, sovereignty from censorship in many forms, you know, whether it be clamping down and shutting off people's bank accounts, whether it be you're not even able to access any sort of financial services globally. So I even worse than that, I'm doing some work with the Human Rights Foundation. And so a lot of people around the globe are now starting to utilize Bitcoin to subvert tyrannical governments. So yeah, I mean, sovereignty, pick your flavor. Bitcoin will probably help you out in some way, shape, or form.
You had a little bit of a taste of a bit of a tyrannical government a couple of years ago during the trucker protests in Canada. What exactly happened to you? Were any of your financials shut off because of that?
So I was lucky enough that I didn't get my bank account shut down, but two of the guys, so we basically had a big multi-sig for all the donations that came in for the truckers. Actually, side note, I'm going to do show and tell here because I have it up on my shelf. Hold on.
Yes, please.
This is the Bitcoin node that was being run during the trucker protest and thus had the Lightning node where a lot of the donations came in. Do you want to hear something fucking crazy? Is during the shows that I was doing in that period, $1.3 million ran through this thing.
Holy shit. Oh,
so if I seemed stressed, it's because I fucking was. And yeah, so this little thing, I mean, obviously it was then funneled into a multi-sig and everything from there. But like, I was a tad on edge. This is obviously not operational anymore, but like, this is just... It's a piece of history because one millionth of all Bitcoin ran through it and was donated to a single cause. But yeah, no, I didn't get my bank account shut down, but two of the guys in the multi-sig did, that were actually present at the protests. Yeah, but I mean, the long and the short of it is it was the only digital mechanism through which people donated that actually made it to its intended recipients. Not in full, unfortunately, because of a few missteps, but 70% of it actually got directly into the hands of the truckers. So works pretty well, turns out.
Well done. How did 30% of it get captured?
So we ran into a bug in the wallet where there's basically an encrypted chat. Whenever you want to send a transaction, it basically sends a message within the chat, and then anybody that's part of the multisig can click on the message and then sign to approve the transaction. The chat messages weren't being relayed. There was a bug in the encrypted chat. And so we ended up with a situation where we had to concentrate keys in one location to extract the remaining funds. 15 or so Bitcoin had already been physically handed out to individual truckers right before then. But that last like few Bitcoin there, effectively, I got a frantic text message one day saying, "Yo, man, my doors just got kicked in by police. And they took everything. They've got computers. I'm on a backup phone, blah, blah, blah. Just so you know, get your shit together because this might be on the way to you right now." So I was losing my mind. I was taping shit in vents.
Honey, like, get the guns.
Yeah, like I was, no shit. I was like grabbing USB drives and like trying to back shit up and like reaching my arm into vents and like just fully. Like, oh my God, I'm not. And like, this went from like 3 weeks prior, Greg Foss being like, "Hey, can you set up like a Lightning wallet? There's like a protest thing going on." And then 3 weeks later, the Canadian government's like, "Shut it all down. Martial law kicking in doors." Like it escalated quickly.
I thought you were not in Canada when most of the craziness happened, right?
This was 2 days prior to me heading to Costa Rica. So that message came a couple days before I was supposed to fly out, and I came out of my office just like blood drained from my face to my wife Lisa, and I was like, "Yo, this is the message I just got, and I'm kind of worried, and I don't know if we should be in the house today." And no shit, we left, we packed up the kids, and we went and stayed at a hotel near the airport for like a couple days until we flew out. And I didn't know if I was going to be able to get on the plane. Like it was kind of crazy.
Also, again, congrats about the 100K subscribers in YouTube.
Thanks, man.
Yeah. You broke the app and now you immediately went to nearly 160, I see.
Yeah, it's been snowballing, which is
58, crazy. Of course.
Yeah, 158. Yeah, we'll just stick around there. This is the 58K gang's revenge. I'll just stay here for like hundreds of thousands of dollars, and I won't gain a single another subscriber from here.
I can't wait till we do the 50% correction from 116.
That would be poetic, I think.
Oh,
that's even a possibility though.
That is so far non-fetched. Everybody's gonna hate us again. I'm welcome. I got the memes for it. Let's go.
I think yellow scenario is the one that is most likely. I think yellow. Did you want to explain what you thought was gonna happen with 58K?
Yeah, I think it will be poetic, as Celi said. Like the 58 becomes the absolute bottom of the cycle. Like we pump. Whatever we pump, and then we drop, and we drop, and we drop, and we keep on dropping, and then where all the bears are saying, "Oh, we're going for 32K." I heard it in BitBoy, like we are at 58, and we stop there, and we pump again. Like it will be great.
I'm excited for like if that ever came to fruition, it would be super hilarious to have a bunch of newbies that somehow like managed to stick around through all of that. get really confused why everybody was celebrating 58.
You're gonna have to show that duck to everybody.
Yeah, show that duck.
Which one?
Show that duck.
Duck.
Which one? Dickie or Ducky?
Both. Oh, that's awesome. Dickie.
This is Dickie. This is Ducky.
Who is who? We don't know.
Dickie. He's an asshole. He's an asshole.
Hence the name.
And that's Ducky. Okay. He's sweet.
He's
particular. I don't know if they're boys or girls yet. They're too young, but we're assuming genders.
I like the color.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, enjoy it. They will be white and fat. These guys, they stick with me all year round because they're too, they get to be too big to fly.
Let me go, you motherfucker. Let me go.
You're saying they're American then?
Hey. Yes. 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 Can't wait to come up there and see how all the Canadians look with all that judgment. All right.
Yeah. I mean, we're still white. We're just not fat.
I just picture you out there like ice fishing, so you just have fun.
I literally did that just the other day.
Did you really?
Those 100 push-ups going.
Tim Horton.
Yeah. We picked up some Timmies. I ran over a Mountie, and then we stopped off at the lake for some ice fishing.
Do you watch Letterkenny at all?
No.
Okay, yeah. Me and Greg are going to fix that here in the next week. All right. You're about to get a whole bunch of memes you don't even know what it's about. Yeah, but it'll happen.
But it's going to happen. It's fine. All right, so you run a weekly. Why are we bullish, weekly or is it a couple times a week? It's Fridays,
right? Weekly. Every Friday, yeah.
Now,
Sean's on it tomorrow.
I want to get your insight into some of the more reasons people have been bullish recently. What have been your favorite reasons over the last couple of weeks?
Let's see here. I'm trying to think who I've had on. God, they blend in so much because it's just there's so many. I'm gonna say, God, there's been a few pretty good guests as of late. Let me hold on. I gotta get supporting materials here. Give me a damn second here. You're blindsiding me. There's too many.
One best second. You got it.
Watching his playlist.
Yeah. I know. I gotta.
Yeah, they do that to me every time too.
Yellow, sing that song. Yellow, sing
it's Greg, right?
I think during. Oh, I was gonna suggest during the bull market, you should actually change the topic to why are we bearish.
Loki, I think I'm gonna do that for April Fool's Day.
Oh, can I be on it? I'm so embarrassed.
You know, actually, I can't believe it.
I'm a great bear.
Yeah. You're gonna have to reach out to me, Yellow.
You know who I am having on for that? I'm gonna have to pre-record because I'm gonna be in El Salvador, obviously. But it's gonna be on the day that I'm flying. So, Well, I guess I can just spill the beans here because nobody watches this anyways. we're gonna have a very special guest, Mr. Dick Cuckerson. He's gonna be giving up all the great reasons why he's so bearish. So I can't wait.
What about Dick or David Wong? Can we get David Wong on there?
David Wong is a good one. And then David Wong, American Wong, and David Wrong should all be on there. That would be great. All the greatest commenters.
Sounds expensive.
Yeah. Greg, to answer your question, I would say I really like when people come on and they chat about some cool new innovation in and around Bitcoin, like some niche thing that is happening that makes it more accessible. Yeah. So like,
no,
I like a lot of the stuff happening in and around Lightning, but making it easier to access, because right now, you know, over the course of this past year, when we've had these fee spikes, even onboarding somebody to non-custodial Lightning can be a nightmare if there's like a $60 fee right? Because it's like, well, what are you going to do? You're not going to set somebody up with a wallet and send them some non-custodial sats for $5 and then none of it arrives. So some of the stuff that Mutiny has been doing is really interesting. And I've had a couple guests mention about how they're using like Fediment and some of these like Xiaomian e-cash.
Is that like Adderall?
Yes. Yeah, it is. It's very much. You take Adderall when you get stressed about the state of the fee market. So, but no, it's basically there's a way to create what's known as like an e-cash mint on top of Lightning, which is a custodial solution, but you can make it so that funds enter into the mint and can only be spent externally to a specific Lightning node. And so you basically have this mint that hosts a Lightning address for you. And so it also solves the issue like Phoenix Wallet, great, awesome self-custodial wallet on mobile, but you can't have a Lightning address because that would have to be hosted elsewhere. And when you turn off the app, it's not, you can't mm-hmm. receive payments. And so with this instance, you would have like an eCash mint that hosts a Lightning address for you. It'd be like BTC sessions at Phoenix or BTC sessions at mutiny.com or something like that. And then when somebody sends a payment to that, the mint holds it temporarily until I turn on my Lightning wallet, and then it instantly redeems any payments that were sent to that address, and they can't be sent via Lightning out of the mint to anywhere else.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So like there's things like that where it's stuff that I hadn't even heard of and didn't know was possible popping up. I love shit like that because it's just, you get to hear about it, a year or two before it's even known by Bitcoiners that are using Bitcoin regularly, and probably 5 years before it's even a common thing to see. So yeah, stuff like that is my favorite.
So what about this this particular application is bullish? So what kind of applications do you see coming out of this?
So I mean, there's a couple different things. Again, this gives an easier inroads to having somebody be able to still self-custody, but have a simple payment code. So you're not always deferring to like, get Wallet of Satoshi. Oh, wait, it's banned. Get this other thing. Oh, wait, that's banned. It kind of prevents that type of thing from happening. And so it allows more people that wish to be able to self-custody. Also stuff on the back end that allows the automation of all the complicated Lightning bits, like opening channels. Like I just saw an update from Zeus where if you're running a Lightning node, like if you run a node at home, and I mean, anybody that has knows that trying to open and manage channels is an absolute fucking nightmare. But now with Zeus, you can, even with your own, if you have like a Start 9 or an Umbral or something, you can just go to Zeus and be like, can you just be my Lightning service provider? And then it'll just open channels and you just have channels open to you. You'll have like a threshold. I always want X amount of inbound liquidity. Yeah.
How? Well, wait, this is using this procedure you've got going on here. So you set up a Fediment. What's the whole thing called?
This is like a whole other thing now. Like
this is a whole other thing. You're not even answering my previous question.
Yeah. Because
it's awesome.
I don't want to.
Yeah, fuck me.
No, but this is like another, and again, I guess just the general gist of it is all of the back end complicated bits to make Lightning more accessible to people are being built out. So all of the nightmares of running a node are being abstracted away.
A Lightning node.
Yes.
There are no nightmares with running a Bitcoin node. That's like,
yeah, Bitcoin node is pretty much press a button and then copy and paste some info.
But the nightmares for me with the Lightning node, we're figuring out like what fees to charge on any given channel, how big of a channel I should open up, and then balancing that channel. And because balancing the channel would always cost me a fortune for no freaking reason. Has that been abstracted away and gotten a little less intimidating?
Yeah, there's plugins where you can just kind of say like, hey, can you just automate my fees? And it'll kind of, based on the amount of traffic going through particular channels, it'll say, okay, bump these fees, lower these fees. This got drained way too quick. Let's change the fees here. It'll just automate that for you. And I've used it. What's it called? It's within Lightning Terminal. You can do that. There's a thing that you can do that will automate your fees for you, and you just don't have to do anything. And so like it has all these little bits of information about the profitability of your node, which inevitably at first is just,
you don't want to look at it. It's like,
there's no surplus of sats leading to you. But when I turned it on, it actually did start, like, I was in the, you know, despite all of my screw ups before, from that point forward, it was like, oh, even though I'm not making a bunch of sats, it's like, at least it's green, right? Like, at least I'm seeing a positive instead of a negative. So it does work. A lot of that's being automated into the background. And I think a lot of stuff when it comes to Lightning, and oddly enough, like pairing it with Liquid, can automate away a lot of the crap that has to do with liquidity, and swapping between those things solves a lot of problems, in my opinion.
Oh, that's interesting you said that, Pedro. Mm-hmm. You there?
Pedro doesn't like Liquid, I'm sure.
Oh, I think it's one of his favorites, isn't it?
Yeah, I think he loves it.
Pedro, if you love Liquid, don't say anything.
This is something I should have warned you of, Ben, before you got here. That's my fault.
That's fine. That's fine. I, to be honest, I don't really give a fuck who likes Liquid or not, because it's super useful for me.
I wanted to ask you about layer
two. No, yeah, you still don't get it, but you'll get it soon.
I feel like referencing the fact that Pedro, while the stream is on, cannot talk. So we ask him questions that we know the answer.
Yeah.
You ruined it.
How
right?
much you love Liquid, Pedro? Stuff like that. Rusty, what's up?
Oh, good morning. You guys changed your time again, so now our podcast is 1 hour earlier.
Right. Yeah. Oh my god, it's not Rope. It's actually Rusty.
G'day. G'day, Ben.
G'day.
I can't even tell.
And g'day, anymore. Don. And g'day, Don, as well.
Yeah, Rope's Australian accent's gotten quite good.
G'day. Mine's not there. I'm not applying either.
Oh, g'day, mate.
Rusty, your art is adorned across my office, and I hope you never stop making my Christmas show poster.
I do.
I mean, Greg probably Sean keeps complaining. Greg gets the shit out of the stick.
I fucking love it every time. It's fantastic.
Yeah, they're basically Greg and Sean get the same amount of exposure, but Greg loves it and Sean hates it. I mean, just, Sean is just a
I mean, him beside the tree for this last year's one was brilliant. He kind of, I mean, Sean just got shoved on a TV screen, I think, last time, right? But this time
I was like, running out of time. Yeah. I was running out of time last year, and I was like, you know what? I'll just put up a Zoom on a TV somewhere and make him one of the avatars. Huh?
Yeah, that worked.
Yeah. I love it. I feel very privileged that you have basically all of my art in your, including yellow plushie.
I do. Yes, he's here. I had to include the Red Bull with him.
Oh, hell yeah!
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Nice.
It's not authentic without that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Talking about yellow, I have three new rules for the bull market.
Yeah. What?
Oh, what?
Three new rules for the bull market. I have to renew the rules.
All right, we don't like rules. So
yeah, okay, you're gonna take it. The bear market is over, guys, and we are in the bull. Unfortunately, I don't like it either. Everyone becomes stupid again. All the stupid comes back. New stupid comes in. It's not my thing. Anyway, but we have to renew the rules. And we had for the bear market, stack, fight, build, or at least tweet about it. And for the bull market, these are the rules. Okay, the first number one rule is buy the fucking dip. Now, you're going to tell me, yellow, that's basically stacking. It's the same thing. Yes, it is, but it's not. So buy the fucking dip means have the conviction of that bull run isn't over yet. You buy in the red where everyone is panicking. The noobs are asking and tweeting, what is going on? I thought my bag was going to pump. That's it. And you buy that fucking dip, you laugh at them, and then everything is good. Bitcoin is up again. You wake up to a new earth. That's how it does. Number two rule is, it's actually something that we all love to do in the bull run, and is, what's the price? That's it. Just what's the price? I don't know what it does. For some reason, what's the price? We wake up, you pretend you go to sleep. I don't know, your wife or your girlfriend, like whatever. It's like, oh, are you asleep yet? Yeah, I mean, honey, and you're just still there in the dark watching your phone and the price. And it moves like 10 bucks and you're tweeting your buddies and like, what does that mean? Do I buy more? And said, you know, just so you got to watch the price. And number three rule is... you tweet about how much stuff we build in the bear market. So now is the time to capitalize what we did in the bear market. And that is capitalize, quote RT your old tweets and say, guys, new guys, you don't believe how much we build in the bear market. Like, that's why we're pumping. It's not the ETFs or something. No, it's not about adoption or anything. We build stuff. And, yeah, that's it. That's the three rules of the bull market. Enjoy. And, yeah, stuff and things and people.
So I can tweet this out now, Yellow? I'm good to do that?
Yeah, go ahead. Yeah.
And people in street
clip
life.
It. Clip it. Just finished with...
I mean, that's clip pretty it. Good rules. I mean,
wait,
should everybody say, well, like, what was built? Who built things?
No, just being general.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Build
stuff.
So
we built a lot of things. Baby.
Things. I built things. I was showing birds the whole time. So if you want to, you know, when you redo the video, you can be like, hey, he's building birds.
Did you?
I was showing them off. I don't know. I felt like there was some visual needed. I tried.
I built these.
I did fed
you,
them.
You in fact build them?
I fed them. And,
wait, hold on.
What?
Yeah, we got to go to Rusty. Sorry, Rusty's got his hands up. So you know the rules.
Yeah, building things. We built a lot of babies in the Bitcoin bear market, I noticed, because they've all been starting to pop out the last few weeks. And I have a theory. I have a theory about what happened here is that we knew the supply of Bitcoin was about to be cut in half. So to increase the effect, we doubled the amount of Bitcoiners in the world so that it would create even more of a supply shock. That's my theory.
That's a good theory, but also it's that time of year. I got duckies, I got chickies. Like, it just, there's more babies. There's just more babies this time of year. It's a baby booming. It's just
boomers.
Have I taught you how to keep your own keys and not quack about it?
Can someone mute Sally?
Mute Sally.
Oh, I can mute Sally.
Stop yelling at your chickens.
Then I want to touch base on layer twos. You brought them up briefly. A lot of people don't really understand, and I may or may not be one of them, what the pros and cons are for using the different layer twos in different ways. So, like, in what situations would you use Liquid? In what situations would you use Lightning, and why?
Yeah, I mean, Liquid, I would say, there is a much bigger trade-off in terms of trust than Lightning. Like Lightning, if you have a Lightning wallet and it's actually like your own, say Phoenix, it's your own funds. Liquid is effectively custody is just custody that's very, very difficult to rug pull. So it's like a giant multi-sig with 15 key holders that are geographically distributed, and then 11 of them would have to collude in order to rug pull you. So the general rule of thumb with Liquid is, if you're going to use it, if you are okay with that trade-off, then you're not like putting your life savings in Liquid. It's like you need to be a bit more nimble, and you're going to be doing transactions and moving stuff around, but it for me, it provides like a middle ground. So like if I'm getting paid on chain and I know that I'm going to be needing to do different transactions back and forth for various reasons throughout the month, I kind of use it as like my monthly float for bills and whatever. And so once it's in Liquid, then I can kind of decide like, okay, I need to, here in Canada, we've got Bull Bitcoin, so I can pay my bills directly with Liquid. They've had it for, God, since 2019, I think.
He's had it for a while, and it's fantastic. He's had Liquid since 2019 on there?
Yeah, yeah.
Shout out to Francis at Bull Bitcoin.
Yeah.
He's been building.
Yeah. And actually, like, I will say, it was a solution without a problem until there was a problem, right? Like nobody really needed it until recently. So it's useful if you're in that realm. So like the things that you can benefit from, it's cheaper to transact. It still works the same as regular Bitcoin in terms of like you have an address and anybody can send to that address. You don't need to be online. You don't need Lightning channels or anything like that. You can just receive it. And it's also got a couple benefits in that the amounts are shielded. So anybody looking on the chain, they can see that a transaction happened, but they can't see how much was transacted. And they also can't see if it was Liquid Bitcoin or if it was like a US dollar stable coin or something like that. And then lastly, you can secure it with hardware. So like for me, for my monthly float, I don't just like sit it on a hot wallet. It's like I have a Jade and I can use that as hardware to secure it. But from there, it's really easy to swap into Lightning. So like I can go from Liquid to like swapping it over into like a Phoenix wallet for like my regular day-to-day, I'm going to buy a coffee or something.
Phoenix supports Liquid as well?
No. So Phoenix, you can use. So what I usually do is I'm using Aqua Wallet as kind of like my in-between, or sometimes Blockstream Green to deal with Liquid.
Like a bridge.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And so like eventually a lot of this will just be abstracted away and you'll just have a balance and you'll just say, I prefer to be using Lightning or I prefer to be using Liquid or on-chain. And whatever form you receive it in, it will just go to that. And so this is, I would say, maybe a month out from that type of functionality where you just get to say, like, listen, I have one balance. And regardless of if somebody's sending me an on-chain or Lightning or Liquid transaction, I want to be sitting in this layer. And it just happens.
So basically have like a side swap thing inside the wallet integrated.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah. So you've got, and it's all because of the guys that are running Bolts. So Bolts is a non-custodial swap service. And so you basically can swap between Lightning, Liquid, and on-chain. And they just kind of have done the initial tests of swapping between Liquid and on-chain in a non-custodial fashion. And so all of that is in the back end. So with Aqua Wallet, they've separated it out. You have on-chain and then you have, they refer to it as layer two or like your spending wallet. It's actually Liquid, but you can receive Lightning transactions and you can send Lightning transactions. And that's because Bolts in the background will just auto swap it for you. And so I find it useful. Basically, Liquid is my monthly float. I then decide, do I need this in a spending wallet? I'll swap it over and I'll use it in Phoenix. Do I need this for, you know, it's at the end of the month and I'm done paying bills and everything. Is there leftovers to go into savings? And I'll swap it on chain and put it into cold storage. So that's kind of like my general flow.
Did you read Francis's tweet the other day about Bitcoin being a medium of exchange?
I did. I think I retweeted it because I really liked it.
I liked it a lot too. I was just wondering, because a lot of people look at Bitcoin as a store of value, which obviously it is. How important do you think it is for Bitcoin to make that leap from store of value to medium of exchange?
I mean, I think it's happening. It's just, it's not there yet, obviously, because it is still volatile and we're still building the layers, right? Like it's we're at this weird spot in terms of like daily transacting with Bitcoin where for the first time ever, for an extended period of time, people actually had to think about how efficient they were being on chain. And so that was a new thing for a lot of people. And then we also discovered that like Lightning works great if you're already in it and you already have liquidity when that strikes, but otherwise you're kind of fucked and you're just going to have to like drop a bunch of sats to get it set up or go custodial. And So Liquid kind of bridges that a little bit and helps in that instance where you can hop between those things a little bit more nimbly. But yeah, we're at this weird point where all of us here have transacted on chain, and that's going to be a very unique thing to say in maybe a decade. I think that's probably not going to be a commonplace thing. Like we're all doing the equivalent of like an international settlement of physical gold to buy like a t-shirt. Like people will be like, you sent an on-chain payment to buy a fucking plushie, and I will proudly say, yes, I did.
Yeah, you don't want to know what the transaction fee was.
Yeah. $150 transaction fee.
Except we'll be old.
Yeah, exactly. Back in my day.
Yeah, I think I was the first person who purchased something in Lightning.
Yeah.
Right? From your website.
Yeah, you did the workshop with your dad.
Yes.
And you paid in Lightning, and I think I was like, fucking legend, you paid in Lightning because everybody's just doing on chain. And Sean was like, yeah, fuck that, I'm way over the future.
Probably had to rebalance your channels right after that though, so
yeah, probably. Yeah, so thanks for that. But like now it's pretty normal to make like, you know, a larger transaction with Lightning. It's not out there, but I think at the time it was still a little odd to, you know, to do something that wasn't just like $5 or $20 or something like that. But yeah, I think we're at this weird point where not only have we all been transacting one way that is basically like a physical settlement of international gold, but now we're witnessing the building of all of the layers in which we're actually going to transact, but we're having to hop to each layer as it's built. So all of us are, the way we were transacting a few years ago is entirely different from how we're transacting now, which is entirely different as what we're going to be doing in a, you know, 5 or 10 years. And it's going to just be kind of an actively shitty experience because you've got to change not only what you're doing, but you've got to go reteach everybody what you've previously taught them. Be like, yeah, well, now it's different because like we built this thing called Lightning, and people are like, oh God, Jesus, what now?
Well, at least your channel will be around for a long time.
Yeah.
All right. Can I push back a little bit on this point?
Yeah.
Because I also see people on Twitter saying that, well, you know, BlackRock is now the biggest layer two, or the ETFs are the biggest layer two, and exchanges have always been the biggest layer two. How many users are there? And people just buy Bitcoin on an exchange. They never actually send it to a on-chain transaction, and they never do any Lightning payments. That's just for the in crowd on Twitter.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's kind of what it is right now, right? Like until
but do you see that changing in a decade?
I do, because I mean, I think there'll still be custodial payment options. I think that's always going to be a thing. I think it's just important that you have the option to not use them, because, you know, inevitably if you're pigeonholed into having to use them, then you're going to get censorship of transactions, right? And so that's why I think that all, particularly what Zeus and Mutiny are doing, where they're trying to find things that can't easily be stamped out that still are able to onboard people for small amounts. But yes, I agree. There's going to be the people that are like, I'm using Binance Pay. And you're like, fuck. But I think the ones that kind of recognize that it's important to be as self-sovereign as possible and like maybe make some trade-offs for just like day-to-day small amounts if it's convenient. Like I don't give a shit what wallet I'm going to use if I'm going to go buy a coffee. I do give a shit what I use if I'm putting away long-term savings or even kind of what I'm dealing with for like a monthly float. I'm okay with the trade-off of liquid for a little bit, because if I do get rugged, it's like it really sucks. But I also recognize it's really difficult. I'm just not going to be on the street if it happens. But I kind of gauge my risk based upon that. But yeah, there's going to be custodial stuff out there forever because people will just offer that. And it's always going to be easier for somebody to be like, don't even think about it. We got you. And sometimes they will and sometimes they won't. Yeah, so I don't know. I think that for those that recognize the importance of being kind of outside of that green check mark, kind of you're approved to transact system, those people will go through the paces of learning what the systems are. Like right now, I think we all kind of went from a place of transacting on chain to Lightning is the thing we're all going to be on. But now it might be the case that, you know, way far down the line, you know, some people just may not have a Lightning channel directly to them. They may be part of like a community sediment or something like that, where the Lightning channel is there. They can spend within their local community very easily. And then anything outside of that, it's like a communal Lightning channel to connect to other mints and things like that. So Lightning may end up in the long run being like the glue that holds together all of the other scaling shit that we piece together. So the long and the short of it is I have no idea what it'll be in 10 years. And I don't think anybody else does, but kind of what I'm looking at right now seems like Lightning is going to be that interstitial tissue that connects all these, you know, various solutions that we have.
Yeah. I feel like, I mean, that is it, the whole second layer and that competitive advantage versus the 3 to 5 days and then the instant with Venmo and all the other, you know, contracts and everything. Like that's something that we have and it works and it's been proven. Mm-hmm. So it's just making sure that, because it's going to have to scale, so we're just having making sure we have that scale go to that and everything align with it.
Thank you for volunteering.
Yes. My volume is probably going in and out. I got
no
a whole bunch of chickens going in and out now.
For volunteering.
Am I allowed to say
F? No, you volunteered. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Somebody has to give out the scores. And I think the chat is going to mutiny if they don't hear them. So at your convenience, sir. Dole them out.
Going on,
Sally.
Wait, what? Now you're talking to me? All right. Yeah. What?
You volunteered to give out scores.
We need scores, Sally. Go around the avatars and say who's the scores what.
Oh Jesus! I've never been on this side. You guys usually cut me off before this. What am I doing?
Yeah, why haven't we cut off Sally
let me,
yet?
Let me make more clear. You have to give out scores.
All right, well, Greg gets a 0, because fuck you, Greg.
Perfect.
There we go. Alex,
all right. Big Sean, 10 out of 10. That's my boy. Rusty, 10-10. I don't know. What else am I supposed to do? I'm not sure about the scores.
You've clearly never seen the scores before.
Just kind of look around the room and start naming stuff.
It's not hard. You just have to.
Working for Ben gets me to. Now I have to answer these things. This is Ben's episode.
You showed up. You invited yourself.
All right.
You answered a question for Ben. It's your turn. You score.
I don't want to pressure you or anything, but if you don't give me a 10 out of 10, you're fired.
So
also, you're making people in the chat dizzy.
Don't talk to me about dizzy.
So he's bobbing and leaving like he's getting ready for a boxing fight.
All right. So Ben gets a 15 out of 10.
Nice.
Because I got a bunch of points to give around, and we didn't even talk about it, but Ben's my employer. Love you, buddy.
Let's go.
Yellow gets the rest of the points. So, woo.
Is that enough? Okay. Yeah. Thanks.
You know, I'm very good at math, and I'm pretty sure it all checks out.
So Marcus and Rope and Pedro get zeros as well.
I mean, if that's how you want to add it up, I'm sorry, Rope. You're my
boy. Transition back. To what we were talking about before, Ben, do you see something changing in the whole thing of ours that makes you worried? And I want to know your ideas around the macro stuff, the MSTR versus Bitcoin custodial stuff we're seeing lately, the ETF posts, like in my timeline, it's everywhere. It is a product of the bull market, I understand. Yeah. It's like another kind of version of it, of this cycle. But like, are you worried at all about what those guys are going to do?
In a general sense of worried about BlackRock getting a bunch of Bitcoin or like custodying a bunch of Bitcoin, I mean, I'm not selling my Bitcoin to BlackRock, so like in that sense I don't give a fuck. But I do think that, I mean, is there an instance where BlackRock suddenly is like, yo, we're gonna fork Bitcoin and the real Bitcoin is blah blah blah? Would they be bullheaded enough to do that? Maybe. I hope that it would play out much the same as the block size wars, because it would be pretty clear at that point, like, what is Bitcoin, and we'd have a historical precedent. And on top of that, I think there's also geopolitical incentives for other nations to take the opposite side of that, right? Because like if BlackRock says, hey, we're forking Bitcoin, then there's a direct incentive to anybody that's not friendly to the US to be like, actually, our nation thinks the other, like the original Bitcoin is Bitcoin. And so I think there'll be a bit of game theory there where that type of fuckery will kind of sort itself, and people are privy to how to stay on the right side of that. And worst case scenario, like if it was really ambiguous and we were really unsure as a Bitcoin holder in self-custody, you can kind of just not do anything because you own both, right? Like some people just didn't, like with the block size wars, some people didn't know what the hell was going on. They're like, I guess I'm just gonna have both and I'll figure out what happened. And like, yeah, the opportunity cost is not dumping the shit coin when it's worth more to get more Bitcoin, but at least you're not losing Bitcoin in that either. So
if I may, Rusty, before you go,
no, he's got his hand up.
I don't think the play for them is to fork Bitcoin, actually.
No.
They need the freedom narrative in order to sell their diluted kind of product. So
So go ahead, Rusty.
Oh, you muted Yellow. Wow. I'm gonna get in trouble for that one. Okay. Follow-up question, is it possible, though, that Bitcoin changed BlackRock and BlackRock is not going to change Bitcoin?
Yeah, I think that's probably the more likely. I think the incentives kind of align themselves. There's anybody who tried, historically thus far, anybody who's actually tried to fuck with Bitcoin got fucked by Bitcoin.
Yes.
So Garrett, I think it's
all the way.
I can see the memes already.
Yeah. Just is it Larry Fink being bent over by a man in a Bitcoin mascot outfit? Because
Larry Fink walking through the forest, you know, there's this little rabbit there, and he's like, I'm gonna fuck this thing.
Yeah, it's already going through all of our heads. We're already writing it right now.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, yeah, I'd agree that I think that Bitcoin, the reality of it is the incentive structure that it creates is going to be hard to go against, especially in a polarized world where world governments can't really agree on fucking anything, you know, in tandem. And so there's always going to be an incentive for whenever somebody tries, especially it's going to grow to a point where it's large enough where there's incentive to get control of it and try and fork it and can or do whatever to pigeonhole it into your purpose. But I think that there'll always be pushback somewhere on the globe, and thus when you don't have consensus, it's just kind of status quo. So I think that might be where we're headed, but I'm not saying that people won't try and F around, but they shall find out.
Amen.
Did we just get a super chat from Vake?
Yeah, Greg, you got to read Vake's super chat. You got to read
Vake. Eat meat, lift weights, hodl bitcoins, and craft dank memes. Thank you, Vake. Mm.
Thank you, Vake.
That's yeah. Look, did you have something to say earlier? Your audio cut out for some reason.
Yeah, it's not important.
Yeah, I'm definitely in trouble. You're gonna blame me for this.
It's your fault. You raised your hand while he was talking. I don't have a choice in the matter.
Technically, I raised my hand before he started talking.
Fair, it's fair.
I just don't trust those guys. I don't know. I'm really embarrassed about the whole ETF thing and Sailor keeping all the coins with fucking Coinbase custodial, and like there's a fuckery going on there, and like it makes me suspicious. They don't have, those guys don't have to ban anything. As I was going to say, they're going to use the freedom narrative in their advantage. They're going to push more macro content to the plebs. They're going to normalize it more and more, not use it custodial. They're going to say, why use it custodial? Are you crazy? Are you a criminal? Do you have, so it's easier. Use our fucking product. And, yeah. You know, like, years will go and go, and as we were talking earlier, if the functionality of the apps coming in the future are becoming more and more easier, which is good, it depends what kind of easy they become. They become Apple apps or do they become Android apps? Like, if you hide all that fucking cypherpunk kind of options we have, even for with our outdated apps we have now, comparing to the future, the ones that are coming. Like, I want the options there because I want to have the option to do and see and verify, as we like to say. Yeah, and not be hidden away just for the easy, being easy, you know? Like, I don't know.
I think you'll always have those options, right? I think in general, people will gravitate to easy options. You're right. Like newbies coming in, unless they kind of get on a learning track where they actually get interested, which I will say, I guess I'm the person that would see the most of that, where people are constantly inquiring and asking about, well, how do I do this myself? Because that's just kind of like the wheelhouse that I deal with. But there's obviously going to be, with influx of newbies and with giant entities that just own ungodly amounts of Bitcoin, they're going to incentivize people to use their products so that they can extract more Bitcoin from them. So yeah, you're right. Like, obviously bearish on other people's sats, but not my own. Like, I think that you'll always have applications, and you're always going to have that allow for self-sovereignty, and you're always going to have Bitcoiners that push the Overton window towards self-custody and self-sovereignty. This is why I never fault the people that are like absolute purists, the people that are like, any trade-off is fucking trash and you're a moron. While I may not fully agree and I may use things that, you know, give me a little bit of ease of transactions, depending on what I'm doing, I value the people that are that insistent upon the absolute far end of self-sovereignty, because those are the ones that push that Overton window away from what the other guys are trying to do, which is push the Overton window towards, it's fine, give us our money, because give us your money because that never went bad before. So yeah, you know, let's bolster and celebrate the people that are the most extreme in their views when it comes to self-sovereignty, because that helps get people at least at a decent place.
Here. Now, we are quickly approaching and exceeding our hour for the evening. So I want to pass this off to Rope and see if I want to hear the scores he had prepared for this evening and see how they rank up next to Selly's. And then see if you can a resident RD question. Rope, have at it, sir.
I actually didn't prepare anything, but just off the top of my head, start off with Selly. I'm going to give you a glass of water and two ibuprofen. Rusty, I got a nice bale of hay for you, sir. Marcus, I got some wax for you. Can use it on your
Nuba wax,
your body, or on your surfboard. Either way, it's fine. Right here, it's called Name That Kitty. That one's for you. Who else I got here? Greg, I've got a bottle of vitamin water, Akai blueberry pomegranate. That one's for you.
Thanks,
Mark. And then Yellow, I have an old school wireless mouse. If you need a new mouse for you. And then who's left? Oh yeah, Pedro.
We got it. We can't
probably the same thing. The same thing for Selly. Just, you know, profan in the water bottle. And for Mr. Ben, I have the my number here I'd like to read for you in lieu of Abra's absence. 3.14159 3 7 5 0 2 8 4 6 2 6 4 3 3 8 3 2 7 9 5 0 2 8 8 4 1 9 7 1 6 9 3 7 5 1 0 5 8
Andrew, 2
cut
0
the stream.
9 7
Andrew,
4 9
Mute him.
No.
Woo!
There we go.
I think
he would have
well done.
Well done.
Oh shit! The duck. The
somebody,
duck is
somebody go verify if that was correct.
It was not.
I don't remember what he said.
But the ducks have the ducks have wrecked my set.
No.
Oh, all right,
bro. Off to the RD question. Let's push this along.
I'm gonna switch it up a little bit. Hey guys, this is Pedro. I haven't been saying much this evening, but I'd like to ask Mr. Ben Sessions the RD questions. Mr. Ben, if the meme factory did exist, and we all know it doesn't, which of us would you like? Which would you retweet? Which would you mute? And for bonus points, which would you zap?
Like, retweet, mute, and zap. Those are mine. Okay, so let's see here. I'm gonna like Sean because he's just a good dude. I'm gonna retweet Yellow because I mean obviously. I'm going to mute Greg because he's muted. Yes. And then I'm gonna zap Selly because I have to because he's employed by me.
This is ridiculous. This is absolutely, I can't stand for this.
Oh, wait. You said members of the meme acceptable.
Selly, kick Selly from the screen, please.
Oh,
Rusty, what's up?
Yeah, just quickly, my phone cut out. I was in a black spot. It was a reception bet. Which one did Ben give to me? Which one?
Do I have to say it for everybody?
I got bad news for you, Rusty. We didn't get anything, actually. We got the shaft, me and you. But he gave Sally some sats.
The shaft is something.
Some might say that's the most valuable thing given out.
You gotta bring pretty birds. Pretty beautiful birds.
Yeah, we got jack shit, is what I'm trying to tell you, Rusty.
Okay, but gave a non-meme factory member a score. Is that
that's correct? Yes. Yes, correct. That's correct.
Yeah, just to clarify. All right, making notes.
my next Christmas joke is just gonna be like drawn like MS Paint stick figures.
No, I got someone for that. We're good.
Full price.
Sally, what's that baby chick's name?
This one is Ducky.
Oh, okay.
And then it's Duck. So this is Ducky, and then this is Dicky.
Are we starting over again?
And then
Pedro got it. Pedro got it. Got it. Pedro.
This is Jay, and this is Silent Bob.
Oh, Jay and Silent Bob. That's cool.
That's it. They're boys. I think they're both girls, though.
So, Ben, we are really looking forward to having you at the having party in a couple weeks here.
Yeah.
We're all going to have fun.
What happens at 840,000? Sally, we're totally excited to have you, too.
No, thanks for having me. Thanks for making it possible. It's been a... I told you I wasn't coming on my own dime, so it got figured out. Woo!
Wow, Ben, you're really nice.
Yeah, I hope I don't get arrested and I get out of there safe. Yay! Oh, is my employer in the room? Oh, shit.
Yeah. Yeah, you're gonna be working 14-hour days down there. Sorry to tell you.
Well, yeah. Don't let me get arrested. We'll be good.
All right, so Ben, take a minute, tell anybody where they can find you, where they can find the projects you're working on, and they can also check the show notes. I think most of it's in there.
Yeah, you can find me YouTube, BTC Sessions. You can find me Twitter and Noster. You'll find me over there somewhere. In terms of other things that are going down, I'm officially doing work for the Human Rights Foundation. I'm like hired on as a I guess they call it like a fellow or something, but anyways, I'm actually doing consistent work for them as well, so check out what the HRF is doing. I think they're kind of doing some of the coolest stuff in the Bitcoin space, to be honest. And then I guess this has been kind of low-key, but I'm launching a company with a friend of mine here in Calgary. It's called Bitcoin Mentor, and it's basically I know I've been teaching people for 8 years, and I've been a one-man show for 8 years, and now I'm need more people that can teach, so I'm going to teach the teachers how to teach. We're gonna have an arsenal of like the top cream of the crop Bitcoin educators. We had 300 people apply, and we're whittling it down to like the top of the top, and then I will go forth and train them, and that people will be able to reach out and do one-on-ones with these people. We're also doing an assisted multi-sig thing paired with Nunchuck. Wow. As well, which will be an optional thing, but if people see fit, they can use that as well. So yeah, That's what's coming. Bitcoin Mentor.
That's fantastic.
Is that gonna be like Blippi, where we're gonna see like people with streaks in their hair, like saying the same phrases as you?
One day it'll be like some dude who's like 15 years younger than me. He can't grow a beard, but he's got the streak, and he just like sitting in the same chair, buys my house. Yeah.
And before we go, I think Toropaddle there has a great idea. We need to start giving the chat a score on these shows. But until then, thank you everybody for showing up. Ben, thanks for coming. Sally, you were here. Thank you. Everybody have a great night and stay safe.
Night.
Hopefully,
Greg is not Satoshi.
Greg Rice is not Satoshi.
Greg Rice is not Satoshi.
Greg Rice is not Satoshi. He's just a fake.
Are we singing that Ricky Martin song?
Yeah, I think it looks better that way.
Is that the She Bangs?
I can see Ben thinking, how can I rug pull this room as fast as possible?
Hey, bro, is it too late to join? Okay.
Go ahead.
That's fine.
I'm not autistic enough to be in this group, actually, guys.
We're still live, Rusty.
Rusty, we're still live. Rusty,
how can we be live? Yeah, well, hey, everyone.
We're waiting for Pedro to cut it. Waiting for him. Just waiting.
Nice. Pedro, hurry up.
Oh, shit. What's up, Rusty?
Yo, what's up? Just in the car.
Pedro, opening stuff up here.
That was Rusty. That's not Rusty.
What? Who was that? No. Oh.
So, welcome to the after party, everybody.
Yeah.
This is where we all get in a circle and sing Kumbaya.
Yeah.
Kumbaya, my lord.
Pedro's probably changing a diaper. Say Craig Wright is not Satoshi.
Perfect.
That was fun news.
That was also Craig's defense.
Although I think he's going to sue the judge next because he's not going to be able to get any speaking gigs now.
Yeah.
The judge.
It's insane to me that he started coming out publicly in what, like 2014 or 15, and we're like, it's just finally getting to the point where a judge finally is like, listen, how slow?
Because he pushed it too far.
Not only that it was slow, he was actually harassing people, making people's lives. That was the crime being committed, right? And everybody's like defending themselves, and he just keeps going. That's what's so crazy. So finally getting some criminal charges against this guy makes sense. But that it took this long is crazy.
Yeah.
He started in 2012, didn't he? Like that first initial video of him talking about the white paper, that was...
No, it was a bit later. It was like after...
Was it?
Yeah, it was. It would have been...
14. It was after Mt. Gox.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah. But yeah.
You have that pedo guy next to him. It's like insane.
I thought he started Bitcoin in 2009.
Nah. The first time I heard about it was before I graduated high school. Back in, he started that shit in...